From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. State prosecutors shut down six Southern California mortgage companies yesterday. Attorney General Jerry Brown claims they were pushing thousands of homeowners into illegal and unconscionable loans. Tamara Keith has more.
In 2006, when Ron Fitzgerald got a phone call offering to refinance his home for $800 a month, he thought it sounded pretty good. But he says when he met with representatives of Lifetime Financial, the paperwork didn't match what he was promised on the phone. He says he was pressured into signing the documents, but he didn't think they were final because his bedridden wife had yet to sign.
Next thing I know, a few days later, the whole thing funded and went through. We got a copy of the deed of trust and transaction, all that, and her signature was on everything.
But obviously it was not her signature.
Absolute forgery.
Fitzgerald got an attorney and was able to get a new loan with a different company. Many others weren't so lucky and lost their homes to foreclosure. Prosecutors have filed criminal charges against seven people for alleged predatory lending practices. Charges include grand theft, forgery, and elder abuse. A civil suit effectively shut down operations at Lifetime Financial, Nations Mortgage, Greenleaf Lending, Virtual Escrow, Olympic Escrow, and Direct Credit Solutions. State Attorney General Jerry Brown says he's seeking more than $20 million in restitution, and he says this isn't the end of it.
It's more mortgage scamming. It's not good. It's not pretty out there.
Brown says he expects to bring legal action against other mortgage lenders in the coming weeks. For the California Report, I'm Tamara Keith.
State Senator Jeff Dunham, a Republican representing the Central Valley from King City to Modesto, is facing a recall. The Secretary of State has certified a petition backed by Democrats peeved at Dunham for refusing to vote for a bipartisan budget deal during last year's 52-day deadlock in Sacramento. Now it's up to Governor Schwarzenegger to schedule the recall election for sometime in the next 60 to 80 days. This would be the first recall election for a state office holder since the one that deposed former Governor Gray Davis in 2003. Today is the fifth anniversary of the Iraq War. Numerous commemorations and demonstrations are expected up and down the state, ranging from marches to street theater. At San Francisco's Grace Cathedral, dozens of empty boots have been lined up, each pair marked with the name of a California service member killed in Iraq. Outside, the stairs are lined with shoes representing Iraqi civilian casualties. Alan Jones is dean of the cathedral.
There is a solidarity in death, and we don't just think of our dead and their dead, but the dead. And it's a way of mourning. It's also a way of expressing that we are one human family and that we're in this together.
5 years is a long time when you have a family member in the military. Some Marines leaving for Iraq this month are on their fifth deployment. KPBS reporter Allison St. John sat down with two military wives at Camp Pendleton and filed this report.
Anna Palachek and Sophie Berg have something in common. They both said goodbye to their husbands last month and watched them head back out to Iraq. But for Berg, it's just the second deployment. For Palachek, it's the fifth. The separation and the anxiety does not get any easier with experience, Palachek says.
The whole checklist of why didn't I get an email today? Did he say there was a convoy? Do you think he went out? You know, your head starts, and it doesn't matter if it's the first deployment or the fifth deployment. You just still worry.
Anna Palachek is 38. She's been married to her husband Robert, the first sergeant in a logistics company, for 15 years. Sophie Berg is 33. She married Jason, the company commander, 3 years ago. The wives are both involved in the Armed Forces YMCA at Camp Pendleton, where they agreed to sit down and talk about how the long deployments are affecting them. They communicate with their husbands by email and the occasional phone call. But both women say the hardest part of deployments up to a year long is not being able to lean on their partner when the separation and the anxiety gets heavy.
You recognize the signs. You know when you're starting to feel sorry for yourself and feel lonely. And then you're like, oh, I know why I'm like this. Because we can't pick up a phone and say, I miss you. You take your time for you.
You've got to deal with it yourself. Yeah, you've got to take all of it. And when you sit down, you got to smile and write to them.
Right.
And you might be crying, but you're, oh, I'm having a good day. You know, the kids are fine.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Palachek focuses on the children to keep going. Berg has chosen a job that isn't too stressful, but keeps her very busy. They both talk about how difficult it is to sleep at night. Palachek has suffered health problems. Her exhaustion turned into fibromyalgia, a painful nerve disorder. The stress of separation is one thing. Then there's the transition when the Marines return home. For Berg, whose husband has only returned for one deployment, the adjustment proved surprisingly easy.
It was like we'd never even been apart. And there was no transitioning or anything like that. It was just, I felt like I'd just met him at the commissary and we'd just been shopping and, you know, we were coming home.
But Anna Palacek has a different experience after five deployments. She says, especially for her three young children, her husband's homecomings were joyous high points. But the children are learning that the euphoria won't last.
You know how a father comes home and, hey, you know, a little bit harder each time for each child.
Her 12-year-old son Bobby is having trouble at school. His grades plummeted every time his father redeployed. He is happiest when his father is home. But all three kids have a hard time getting used to their father's different, stricter parenting style. The readjustments are particularly difficult for Amelia, her 5-year-old.
Who has better communication with him when he's not here, because when they come home, it's harder for him to deal with the age and the changes, and he feels bad for what he's missed.
The children have had to get used to the roller coaster ride of having a father who's gone more often than he is home, not just once or twice, but for critical years of their young lives. Palacek says even when her husband is home for 9 months, it's hardly time enough to re-establish the relationship. The first few weeks, there is a lot of readjusting to the family, and the last few weeks are preparing psychologically for the pain of another separation.
You know what you're going to go through, so you start preparing for it. Oh. You start preparing for the deployment 3-4 months before they leave, because you know, and I think the more times they deploy, the farther out you do the detachment.
Palacek says she's known her husband since high school, so their bond is strong. But she's seen a number of marriages that have broken up because of the seemingly endless deployments. For both herself and her children's sake, she can't wait for the cycle of long, anxious deployments and short, difficult home visits to be over. As for Sophie Berg, when her husband returns from his second deployment, she says she hopes to get pregnant. That's even though she doesn't know if her child will also have to grow up in the stressful cycle of wartime service. For the California Report, I'm Allison St. John in San Diego.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, March 19th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment, working to ensure that Californians get statewide health reform this year. Online at cahealthreformnow.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995.